Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we investigate the book of 2 Timothy and discover powerful truths about mentorship from a father-to-son perspective. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. So glad to have you on board. Looking forward to diving right into our verse of the day, Lord willing, verses of the day, Caleb, at our pace. It might be the half verse of the day, but we're in 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you want to follow along, and we are in verse number 8. So let me read a verse or two, and we'll just jump right back into it. The Bible says in verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. So one long sentence, two verses. So just to bring us up to speed, and Caleb, by the way, thanks for being back with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We've been talking about the metaphors that the Apostle Paul used to describe the Christian life, soldiering, farming, an athlete. And really, when you view them in composite, it means, hey, you'll work hard. It's a striving. There's going to be battling. It's not a playground.
Right. Yeah. He kind of depicts the Christian life. He's not trying to paint a pretty picture for him. He just tells him, hey, this is what it truly is like. If you're really not going to be ashamed of Christ, you're going to have to go through some difficult times. But as he's starting to talk about in verses 8 and 9, it's worth it because there are bigger things that we're fighting for.
But before and I love what you just said, he gets to the it's worth it passages.
Right.
I love that. But you know, the verse we ended with last episode, consider what I say. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, Caleb, that's the part about scripture and discipleship that we gloss over. That part of, I think Jesus said, count the cost.
Yeah.
Paul says, consider what I say. Stop and think about what's entailed in really serving Jesus.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's easy for us, especially when we're listening to sermons or at revivals or conferences or pastors' meetings, and we can get really excited about what the next thing is, and all we have this camaraderie, and we're saying, "Oh, I'm going to go out and serve Christ, and this is awesome." But a lot of times, people, those decisions, they fail pretty quickly because I think they fail to do what Paul was saying, as you stated, that Jesus said to count the cost. And so he said, hey, there's all these things that are going on, but Timothy, I don't want you just to blindly follow Christ because I tell you to, or because you know it's the right thing to do. I want you to follow Christ, really understanding what you're getting yourself into.
You're right. So consider what I say, and the Lord give the understanding. There are some parts of understanding what discipleship is and soldiering is for the cause of Christ that God's going to have to teach you. You're going to have to learn that.
Sure.
It's going to be his grace and illumination in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a learning process the whole way through.
So verse 8, we stay on the theme of, hey, remember, Timothy, in order to give you some incentive, because what I'm saying, I mean, think about what Paul is saying. It's not warm and fuzzy.
No.
Timothy, don't be ashamed. Trials are coming. I'm in jail. You know, things
pretty
like
dark.
That.
Yeah.
It is. But then as an encouragement to Timothy, remember, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ of the seed of David. And what would that mean to a young Jewish man? What that would mean is Jesus, the Messiah, the promised king, the seed of David. So that would be, to every Jewish mindset, that would be royalty. Jesus, the one destined for royalty, the one destined for kingship, Jesus Christ, the son of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. In other words, death preceded victory.
Right. Yeah. It's even the Messiah. He went through that stage, and it's kind of twofold. It's like Jesus suffered as well, but also Jesus has the victory. And as we'll see in future verses, he echoes that theme that we have the victory through Christ. Ultimately, in this life at certain seasons, times, it might not seem so, but through eternity, we have the victory through Jesus Christ, the risen Savior.
You know, that's a really good point. The gospel is kind of like an outline of the Christian life. Mm-hmm. So we die, right?
Yep.
So we're buried with him in baptism. We identify with Christ. The Christian life is that life of identifying with his death. So Jesus died. He was buried. What was that? That was a time when it seemed like his life was fruitless. It seemed like the things he had done were meaningless. It seemed like nothing makes sense. Yeah. And then the resurrection, which was the moment of victory, and wow, it does make sense. It's worth it all. And that's the Christian life. You know, we die to our own desires. We die to our own agenda. We live unto God. But it seems as if we live this life that's buried away.
Sure.
A life of misunderstanding. But one day, we're going to see it will be worth it all.
Yeah, sometimes it's difficult in our own situations to see what Christ is doing through our trial or through our struggle. And a lot of times we fail to have an eternal perspective, and we think of how difficult it is now and the loneliness or the pain or the suffering I'm through right now. And Paul is saying there is that time. But if we just keep the bigger picture, Timothy, understand that this is in light of eternity. Don't just live for this short little period of time for yourself, but live for something beyond you.
So maybe a good way to summarize verse 8 would be contextualize your experience in terms of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's what I'm doing. Because the sentence is not over in verse 8. The sentence continues in verse 9, where the Apostle Paul says, wherein? In what? Well, in the gospel. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. So, Timothy, consider the gospel. Remember that Jesus died and then was resurrected. And Timothy, consider my experience. Mm-hmm. And that is, I'm in jail. I am being treated as a common criminal. I am on death row. But all of this is, none of this rather impedes the power of the gospel, because the word of God is not in jail. The word of God is not bound. And in many ways, my experience is a microphone, an amplifier for the word of God.
Yeah, I love the way that Paul phrases this. It's, although mankind has done everything he can to quiet the gospel and to bind him up and to silence everything, the word of God, it's going to last forever. And there's nothing man can do to stop the gospel work. And he's saying, hey, you know, I might be in jail right now, but the word of God, it's still flourishing. The word of God is going to continue on. And then I love the point you made as well. Even the word of God is going on, but even in my suffering, it's used as a microphone. And you see all throughout early church history, every time there was persecution, even in recent times as well, you see that man and the devil uses things to try to silence the gospel and to hinder people. But at times of suffering and persecution, you see the word of God like never before start to spread like wildfire. And you see that happening in the early church.
Yeah, for sure. So it reminds me of Paul's testimony earlier when he wrote to the church at Philippi. Mm-hmm. And he said, the things that have happened unto me have happened rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. So what were the things that were happening? Well, he was describing his first imprisonment. Yep. Now, you know, and the first imprisonment wasn't as bad as the second one,
right.
But he was still immobilized. Mm-hmm. He was constrained to one house. And yet, what did Paul say? He said, you look at this as the limitation of my liberty, but I look at this as what God is doing. Roman guards are hearing this. I'm writing these letters, these prison epistles. And so in many ways, the gospel is having an exponential influence. I think about even, Caleb, you know, at the recording of this podcast, we're still in the middle of COVID.
Yeah.
And you look at COVID through the lens of how it has affected our mobility. You know, I've not been able to travel like I did. Yeah. I've not been able to travel internationally. My Israel trips have all been curtailed. And if I just look at this through the lens of my personal liberties, it looks like, oh, this stinks.
Yeah.
But what has COVID done for the gospel? Boy, it has exponentialized the gospel message as all these churches have gone online and ramped up their live streaming and up to their social media game. And even things like these podcasts are proliferating. I mean, the gospel is going everywhere.
It is. Yeah, it's so neat to see. I mean, I remember when COVID first came out and every church was saying, okay, we're all going to live stream, and it crashed parts of Facebook. And
that
it crashed
first Sunday.
Yeah, it is unbelievable. And you'd think about how many people over this year have watched a church service or, you know, tuned in to a devotional, as these churches are constantly doing that. And I love Paul's perspective on it. He's saying, hey, I'm not going to sit here and wallow in my own self-pity. I'm going to understand that Christ has allowed this to happen to me for some reason. And you made a great point. While he was under house arrest, while he was in prison, this is where he wrote many of his epistles. And you think, you know, what would we do without these epistles? And God, you know, put him in a situation where he had really, for the most better part of a day, nothing else to do but to write these letters of edification to believers and churches. And like you said, he had an international impact all over, whereas before it's one city at a time. So it really is amazing to see how God uses these times. And it's our job to have that perspective. Okay, God, I'm here. For what purpose do you have me here? And we're so quick to just say, God, get me out of this. God, make this stop. But we need to have the heart to say, okay, God, while I'm here, while you have me here, what am I supposed to learn? Who am I supposed to encourage?
Just looking at the response of Christians, and I'm going to put myself in this group because I know I've done this past year to this whole COVID pandemic. You know, there's been a lot of complaining.
Yeah.
And I can't believe they're shutting down churches and they're not going to tell me I can't go. And I can't believe we only have gatherings of 10. And we've focused on, wow, the government is binding the word of God.
Yeah.
But what did Paul tell us? No, no. The word
good.
Of God is not bound.
Absolutely.
The word of God has, you know, is leaping off of this platform of pandemic. And we're seeing it spread in ways that it never could have spread before.
Yeah. Only God can do that. It's just, and ultimately, it just accelerates everybody's thought process towards, hey, this is not me, but this is for God's glory. God, only God can do this, and it just shines brighter His gospel rather than us.
So, what is it, my friend, right now that you are complaining about, or that you feel is limiting your influence, or causing you hurt? Or limited mobility, hey, that humanly speaking, it might be hard to bear, but let's face it, our God who works all things together for our good and is the ultimate curator of His gospel is going to use these situations in your life to further His gospel. And you can take great satisfaction in that today, my friend. I hope you have a great day in the Lord, and we'll see you next episode. God bless.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.